There's a story circulating right now that touches on sanctions, geopolitics, and some of the most tightly restricted airspace in commercial aviation. I'm Tower on AT's Radio Hangars News Block, and today we're pulling the thread on a denial that raises more questions than it answers. Saudi Airlines, the national carrier of Saudi Arabia, posted a formal statement this week pushing back against reports that the airline sold 5 Boeing 777 aircraft to Iran's Mahan Air. The statement landed July 3rd. Saudi called the claims false, end of statement. Except, it's not really the end of the statement, is it? Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSold.com, aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSold.com. Now let's talk about why a two-sentence denial from a Gulf carrier generates the kind of attention that forces a formal press release in the first place. Mahan Air is not your average airline. The carrier based in Tehran has been on the United States Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Assets Control list since 2011. That's the sanctions designation that effectively cuts an airline off from the global financial system, from Western aircraft manufacturers, from spare parts supply chains, and from most major maintenance providers. Mahan Air was designated because of its documented support for the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps and its role in transporting personnel and material for military operations in Syria and elsewhere. These are not allegations. These are findings that have been litigated through Treasury's designation process. What that means practically in aviation terms is that Mahan Air cannot walk into Boeing or Airbus and order new jets. They cannot use SWIFT transactions to pay Western suppliers. They cannot send aircraft to most reputable maintenance facilities in Europe or North America. They are by design cut off from the modern commercial aviation ecosystem. And yet Mahan Air continues to fly. That's the uncomfortable reality. Sanctions don't ground a fleet overnight. They degrade it slowly, part sourcing moves underground. Maintenance records become difficult to verify aircraft. That would otherwise be retired keep flying because there's no replacement coming through legitimate channels. So when a report emerges that a major Gulf carrier may have moved 5 Boeing 777s in Mahan Air's direction, that's not a routine used aircraft transaction. That's potentially a sanctions evasion story of significant magnitude. The 777 is worth understanding here. We're talking about Boeing's long-range, wide-body workhorse, twin engine, capable of carrying anywhere from 300 to 500 passengers depending on configuration, with ranges that push past 7,000 nautical miles in some variants. Mahan Air already operates a mix of Airbus and older Boeing wide-bodies, including some 747s and 767s that have been in service for years. 5 777s would represent a meaningful fleet upgrade for an airline that has struggled to maintain what it has. For context on how aircraft transactions work in the secondary market, it's worth noting that used wide bodies change hands regularly. Airlines retire frames, lessors remarket them, cargo operators pick up older passenger jets. The secondary market for large commercial aircraft is global, active, and not always transparent. Aircraft registration can move through multiple jurisdictions in a short time. A jet that was flying for a European charter carrier last year might be registered in a third country and operating on a different continent today. That's legal, normal aviation commerce. What makes the Mahan Air angle different is that U.S. export controls and sanctions reach beyond American companies. Boeing 777s contain American technology that subjects any transaction involving those airframes to U.S. jurisdiction under the Export Administration, regulations, and the International Emergency Economic Powers Act, regardless of where the seller is located. A Saudi carrier selling American-manufactured jets to a sanctioned Iranian airline would not just be a policy problem. It would be a potential U.S. federal enforcement matter. That's the weight behind Saudi's denial. Now here's what we don't know, and Tower is going to be straight with you on this. We don't know where this report originated. Aerotime, which first surfaced the denial, did not publish the underlying sourcing for the original claim that prompted Saudi's response. Aviation rumors, particularly around aircraft transactions involving sanctioned entities, sometimes emerge from competitors, sometimes from intelligence leaks, sometimes from aircraft tracking communities who notice tail numbers moving in unexpected ways. Sometimes they're accurate. Sometimes they're the result of misidentified registrations or incomplete data. What we do know is that Saudi felt compelled to put out a formal denial. Companies don't issue formal denials for rumors that have no traction. The reputational and legal stakes for a Saudi national carrier implicated in sanctions evasion would be severe. Saudi Arabia has spent significant diplomatic capital in recent years, positioning itself as a hub for legitimate global aviation. The country is building out an entirely new national carrier with Riyadh Air alongside Saudi. The last thing Saudi aviation diplomacy needs right now is a sanctions headline. It's also worth noting the broader geopolitical backdrop. Saudi Arabia and Iran formally re-established diplomatic relations in 2023, following years of proxy conflict and deep hostility. Embassies reopened. There's been cautious normalization at the state level, but normalization between governments does not erase the legal framework that governs aircraft transactions. You can have an ambassador in Tehran and still be fully prohibited under U.S. law from selling American-made jets to a sanctioned Iranian airline. The aviation angle here, the one that matters most to people in this community, is about what happens to aircraft that do end up in sanctioned fleets. When airframes move outside the regulated maintenance ecosystem, when they're operated by carriers that can't access authorized repair stations, when parts have to be sourced through gray markets, the consequences are not abstract. They show up eventually in accident investigations, they show up in airworthiness directives that can't be complied with because the required parts aren't available, they show up when aircraft that have no business flying anymore are kept in service because there is no alternative. Iran has a difficult aviation safety record that is directly traceable to decades of sanctions. The country has experienced major commercial air accidents involving aircraft that were maintained under those constrained circumstances. That is not editorializing. The International Air Transport Association, or IAATA, and independent aviation safety researchers have documented the correlation. Sanctions don't just hurt the airlines they target financially. In aviation, they create safety conditions that ultimately affect the people riding in those aircraft. None of that means the Saudi story is confirmed. It's not. Saudi says it didn't happen, and absent evidence to the contrary, that's where the record stands. But the reason this story generated a formal denial rather than silence is because the stakes, legal, diplomatic, and from a pure aviation safety standpoint, are that high. There's also a secondary thread worth pulling on, which is fleet disposal from Gulf carriers more broadly. Airlines like Saudi, Emirates, Etihad, and Qatar Airways operate some of the youngest, most modern fleets in the world. They cycle through aircraft on relatively short timelines to keep their product premium. That means a steady stream of late model, well-maintained wide bodies coming off lease and entering the secondary market. Those jets are attractive, they're sought after, and not all of the entities seeking them are operating in fully transparent regulatory environments. The aircraft tracking community, the people who monitor aircraft registration databases, ADS-B transponder data, and tail number movements, has become increasingly sophisticated at identifying when jets migrate towards sanctioned entities. It's not foolproof, but it's the kind of informal oversight layer that often surfaces these stories before official channels do. Watch for more reporting on this one. If there's documentation behind the original claim, it'll emerge. If Saudi's denial holds and the original report turns out to be inaccurate, that matters too. Aviation news is better served by accuracy than by speed. And right now we have a denial and an open question. That story came out of Aerotime's reporting, published July 3rd. If you want to follow the sourcing on this one, aerotime.aero has the full story. You can also find us at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. We'll keep the frequency open.